The Republican presidential primary season is in full swing, and no candidate yet has locked down the nomination. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. By the latest estimate from CBS News, delegate count now stands at 471 for former Governor Mitt Romney, with former Senator Rick Santorum coming in second at 218. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich has 119 and Ron Paul 42. Meanwhile, it appears that President Obama has now begun his reelection campaign in earnest. Take a look at where we are in this election cycle. Our in-studio guests are Ann Suthowski with the Wicomico County Republican Party and also Mike Prettle with the Wicomico County Democratic Party. Welcome to you both. Well, Ann, I want to start with you. Where do you see this this presidential primary season at this point? There are some suggestions that Romney may not, or no one for that matter, might not get enough of the enough delegates to actually win outright. People talking about broker conventions. Where are we? We thought we'd let this all be settled after about a month. So what happened here? You think
it's lasted too long? I mean, I think the Iowa caucuses and the Vermont primaries, I think, started about a year ago. It's just too long. One of the best remedies I have heard, someone suggested four regional primaries. Divide the United States into four sections and have four regional primaries in May and June. Probably will still start a year and a half ahead of time, but it's just too long. And the Democrats were the same thing last year between Hillary and Obama. So it happens in both parties.
Okay, do you think it? Because my understanding is that the Republican Party after 2008. They thought, or my understanding is the design of this thing and the way it lays out, they decided that, well, maybe a longer primary season would be good because they looked at, for instance, the Obama-Hillary race, right. And that seemed to energize the party. But it didn't happen here?
I don't think. This is just my opinion.
You go ahead.
It may not be evidently it's not the party's platform, but my personal opinion and those that I talk to, I'm in many, many different groups with different age groups and philosophies in the community. And this is what I'm hearing from everywhere. Everybody's tired of listening to it. Whether you're a dyed-in-the-wool Republican or Democrat, they're tired of hearing it. It's lasted too long.
Mike Prettle, what about this long primary season? Why do you think there's this? Well, it looks as if there might be a difference then between 2008 in terms of prolonging and now. What do you think?
From my perspective, Don, I think it's wonderful.
I mean, of course.
As you know from prior discussions, I've been an optimist because I think the Republican Party is in disarray, and I think that the long primary is showing the voters that the disarray in the party, and I think they've got very serious problems, which I think are getting worse rather than better, and I have become increasingly optimistic, and I think most of the predictions in the polls and what have you are running very strongly in favor of the Democrats as a result of the disarray of the Republican Party. And I think it contrasts very, very sharply with what happened last time, where there was not the amount of negativism and backbiting and name-calling among the two major Democratic candidates, who obviously not only finished closely together but finished working together after the election. And I think that that's virtually impossible given the state of the Republican Party, should they be successful, which I think is becoming less and less likely.
Ann?
Personally, I don't think disarray is on the minds of the average voter. I think what's on the minds of the average voter is the unemployment, is the economy, and probably $5 gas gallon prices. I think this is what's on the minds of the average person that I talk to, not what he says the disarray of the Republican Party. I don't see any disarray myself.
How would you describe what's going on in terms of this kind of stuff? Obviously, he has his own particular partisan view about being a disarray. How would you describe then what's going on in terms of the Republican Party seeming to sort itself out? Because the various individual candidates do seem to represent sort of various dimensions, I guess, of the Republican Party. How would you characterize what you see going on there, you think?
Well, personally, I'm a middle of the roader.
Okay.
I'm a moderate. By many standards, I would be considered a Rhino. If you want me to explain that.
Republican in name only? Okay.
Republican in name only. I'm a moderate, and I think the Republican Party, in showing the different views, show that they represent more different parts of the United States than the Democrats. The Democrats are basically liberal, whereas in the Republican Party, you have the ultra-conservative, you have the moderates, and you have some very liberal Republicans. I can't understand why, but we do.
None left.
Yes. And the same way you have, I know some very conservative Democrats that will not change their parties because great-grandpa was a Democrat, but they have never voted a Democrat ticket, but they will not change parties. So you have it both ways.
Yeah, Mike, what about this? I mean, it's the settling out of the Democrats versus Republicans in terms of moving away from each other ideologically. Some people, by the way, have looked at the representation on the congressional level, and they see this developing as, and much of what people are saying or attributing this to is a lot, just a lot of safe seats in which you don't have to be, you know, a moderate in order to win re-election because it's a lock because of the registration. And you see a lot more of that now than, say, maybe even 10 or 15 years ago.
Well, I agree with that judgment, and I think that's certainly true. It's what happened with Wayne Gilchrist. You know, I mean, the moderates are being driven certainly out of the Republican Party, and one could argue that at least in some parts of the country they're being driven out of the Democratic Party also. I mean, I have to make a confession. I was a Republican moderate for a number of years. I was a moderate for about the first 15 or 20 years, but I got, I guess, driven out of the Republican Party ideologically by the kinds of things that started 30 years ago and that are, if anything, getting worse today. And I mean, I respect Ann and I respect the moderates in our community, but I think that they are increasingly having no place in the current Republican Party. And I think what is happening is, and I'll say very frankly, I have a lot of respect for Mr. Romney. I think he was and is an intelligent person and a moderate person. But unfortunately, the way the race has gone, he is being driven so far to the right that, you know, I think he has lost all credibility with both the moderates and with the right wing. I mean, 5 years ago or 10 years ago, he was speaking at Planned Parenthood fundraisers. Now he's saying he's out to abolish Planned Parenthood. I mean, that's just outrageous. His mother was a chief sponsor and advocate for Planned Parenthood years ago. But he can't be a moderate because he knows he can't get elected as a moderate. I mean, someone said the other day, the lunatics have taken over the asylum, and that's what the Republican Party has become, that the right wing. And let me say one more thing.
Let me have Ann jump in here for a second. Here, go ahead, Ann.
Well, first of all, go ahead. I was Wayne Gilchrist's first campaign manager back in 1988 when we had the decision in the absentee ballots. And you want to talk about voter fraud, well, that would be another issue. Also, I feel that the Republican Party represents more people because we have so many different cross-sections, whereas the Democrat doesn't. My father was a lifelong Democrat, as were all the Brittinghams in this county. 10 years before he died, Dad said, Democrat Party's left me. I have not left the Democrat Party. I grew up, as I said, with a Democrat father and a Republican mother. As a child, at age 5 and 6, I can remember the conventions, both on radio. I can remember your Southern Democrats ranting and raving against integration. I can remember the Republican Party as the champion of integration.
As it was, I agree.
So the parties have changed over the Democrat Party probably more than the Republican Party has really changed over the years. But I still say the Republican Party, with its many different factions, represent more of a cross-section of the United States than the Democrat Party. That's why the diversity in the opinion.
Don, let's go back to what's going on today, because I think I would like to focus on what's happened today. And I would suggest to you and to Ann that the fact that Mr. Santorum has emerged as the, if some would say, the sole surviving pretender to the Romney throne as the Republican nominee has been terrible for the party, because what it's done is it's moved away from the emphasis on jobs and economy and growth and that sort of thing to the cultural issues that Mr. Santorum has promoted his entire political career. And it's forced Mr. Romney to abandon a lot of his moderate positions in order to compete with Santorum in places like Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and places where those religious conservatives are rampant. And, you know, I think it's disgusting for us who respect Mr. Romney to see him pandering to the right-wing cultural conservatives.
Let me turn to Ann, because one of the things I was going to ask was that you mentioned the fact that from what the people you talk to, they're talking about jobs and the economy and healthcare, all those things, that's kind of bread and butter issues. But a lot of the debate in this Republican presidential primary seems to have revolved around some of the social issues, which is, for instance, contraception, obviously, is one of them, which I don't think anyone actually saw coming up. And I realized it was a product of the healthcare reform law that's in regulations. But there does seem to be a lot, and the emphasis upon religion. These seem to be coming to the fore and being talked about in between these candidates more than the economics, which is what, you know, what you're hearing. How do you sort that out?
Well, first of all,
yeah,
you've got to go back to Santorum is winning in many of these states that have open primaries. Now, in an open primary, anybody can vote for the candidate. They may be registered Democrat. So how many actual Republicans in these open primary states are supporting Santorum? For example, I was in a discussion here in Salisbury a few weeks ago, the day of the Michigan primary, and a Democrat was bragging in the room that she had talked to all of her Michigan Democrat cousins, and they were getting everybody out to the polls that they knew to vote for Santorum. So I'm wondering how many actual Republican votes are going for Santorum, and how many of them. And also, I understand that the Obama campaign is putting on ads to urge people to vote for Santorum because they do not want to run against Romney.
I hadn't heard that, but yes. Do you think, to suggest, because some of the polling that I've seen and some of the voter turnout, particularly in the southern states like Mississippi and Alabama, for example, that in which Santorum was able to eke out some wins, and it's in one case fairly well, that when you looked at what people who identify themselves, for instance, as socially conservative evangelicals, they tended to go to, say, for instance, vote for Santorum or perhaps Gingrich. On the other hand, when you broke it down in terms of the income, you found that people who were making over, I guess, $100,000, but people who are doing better than a lot of folks, they tended to vote for Romney. So there does seem to be some divide inside your party as to where these, at least to whom these people are voting for.
I think it's a section of the country you talk to. And also you've got to look at the rules. The states, the state party determines the rules of the primaries. A few years ago, the Republican Party did allow independents to vote in a primary. We just did that one time. Maryland has a closed primary. Unaffiliated cannot vote because there's no such thing as independents in Maryland. Unaffiliated cannot vote. Democrats vote in Democrat primary, Republicans in primary, and it's a closed primary. What you need to look at are the demographics in the particular state. Was it a closed primary or was it an open primary?
I want to turn, by the way. Go ahead.
I agree with Ann's initial point. I think that Santorum is a marginal candidate. I think his chances of winning are virtually nil, which is precisely my point that Mr. Romney has permitted himself, has taken the bait, in essence. He has he should be ignoring Santorum and talking about the jobs issues and the economic issues that we all think are most important. But he hasn't done that. And he's shifted his campaign to respond to Santorum and now attacking Santorum. And I think that's a mistake, and I think it's going to come back to haunt him in the general.
Well, Hillary and Obama did the same thing. They attacked each other.
One distinction, and I want to follow up something, but one of the distinctions I found that in terms of approval ratings, at the end of the 2008 primary season, the approval ratings for both Obama and for Hillary were like somewhere in the 40s or 50s. When you look at least at currently at this snapshot, it might be something different at the end of the road, you find that the approval ratings are actually much lower for all those. So it does seem to be taking a toll. But let me ask you this. Would you be comfortable with President Santorum? I mean, I don't know whether you're allowed to, you know, because you are involved with the Republican committee.
As a committee, we cannot endorse.
Right.
Yes, we have people working for particular candidates. I've been, you're talking to someone who 4 years ago backed Fred Thompson and Rudy Giuliani.
Okay.
those were my two horses in the race. I originally was one of the ones that was urging Rick Perry to come in. But I've always followed Romney. I really feel he is the best of the four surviving, we call them those, four surviving candidates. I feel he is the one that reaches out. He is not an issue candidate, and any person running for office should not be an issue person. They should look at the whole picture. I don't care if you're running for city council, county council, House of Delegates. You really shouldn't be a single isolated issue person. You should represent all the views of the people, of your constituents.
Does this. Do you think that Romney would, in your opinion, have a much better shot at appealing to independents, as opposed to, say, Santorum or even Gingrich, for that matter?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I belong to a group in Washington called the Republican Women's Federal Forum. And it's women from Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, Pennsylvania. And it's a very good cross-section. And I know they are almost all Romney supporters for this reason, because they want someone that's going to represent a broad spectrum.
Let me ask. I want to turn to that. I want to turn to. We have to get to that.
Can I respond one second to that?
Yeah. Very briefly.
Okay. I think he reaches out to all the millionaires. I mean, I think that has been the criticism of a lot of the Republicans have said that he says he's from NASCAR. He knows some owners of cars. You know, he always goes back to this idea that he knows all these wealthy people. And the criticism that the Republicans have been making is that he cannot relate to the working man.
Let me get to Ann, and then
Everybody who's listening to this who knows me is absolutely in hysterics on the floor right now when you talk about millionaires, because most of them know my financial status. That's a big joke, and I'm not even going to go there.
Let me ask you. I want to turn to the Democratic side, because it does seem as if yesterday we began to get the launch of the Democratic reelection campaign. We had Vice President Joe Biden, who actually called out the individual Republican presidential candidates by name, which is the most direct attack, I think, so far that we've seen. The most notable quote I think I saw was. From Biden was, we're about promoting the private sector, we're about protecting they're about protecting the privileged sector. We are for a fair shot and fair shake, therefore about no rules, no risks, and no accountability. That seems to be basically the tack that they're going to take. Mike, the Republican presidential primary is not even selected a candidate yet. I mean, it's possible there could even be a brokered convention. why do you think at this moment in time that the Democrats and the White House decided this was a time to launch what clearly is a departure from what they've been doing in the past?
Oh, well, I guess I slightly disagree with you. I mean, we've had a drumbeat for 6 months of criticism of Obama. I think it's incredible that Fox News this week shows Obama running ahead of Romney and substantially ahead of Santorum when they haven't started the campaign yet. So all you've heard is all the negative stuff. I think it's about time, and most Democrats have been waiting in the wings, waiting for the campaign to launch, so that we can respond to some of these absurd comments that have been made by the Republican opponents attacking Obama and attacking each other. So, you know, I'm glad that the Democrats have finally weighed in. I don't think we're going to get up to earnest until the Republicans finally settle on their pretender to the throne. But I think it's good that at least Mr. Biden has been released to go out and respond to more blatant criticisms and attacks that have been made by the Republicans during their orgy of criticism over the last 6 months with 22 debates and all this free airtime that they've been getting to spiel their rhetoric to the voters.
Well, it is true that they have now allowed Joe Biden out of his cage or his box to get out there. We'll see how that works. And what about, I was curious, and you can go ahead and include what you got there, but I was curious about how you think this moving out of the Democrats on the one hand to what looks to be like a fairly serious campaign effort, even while your own party is still sorting out what candidate is going to have.
Well, first of all, you're talking about millionaires. What is it, $1 billion that Obama plans to, you've got to have, I don't think that's being raised by poor Democrats. Secondly, you've got all of these dinners that he has been doing. And I think the minimum I've heard is $30,000 going up to $50,000 a piece. I don't think you've got any minimum wage people attending those. And then you've got the Hollywood elite with all of their messages. And I don't think they're working for minimum wage either. So when you start talking about millionaires, I think you've got to include a few Democrats in all that.
But what do you think about the Democrats beginning to launch this campaign in the middle of your own? I mean, because it's obviously there are all the various candidates from Romney to Newt Gingrich to Santorum. They've all obviously fired some of their attacks at Obama, but they also got to like worry about the immediate problem of attacking each other, right? So, I mean, it seems as if you're at least at this moment, the party might very well be in a somewhat of a disadvantage, and just sort of from a tactical standpoint. What do you think?
What's your question?
So the question is, I mean, do you think that, I mean, how does this affecting the fact that the Democrats are able to come out early and begin their campaign as a unified effort, as opposed to the Republican Party is still having to sort itself out? What kind of impact? I mean, do you think you'll be able to make up the time? I mean, you finally get a nominee? What?
Let them spend their $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. You don't think that's an advantage?
It's not worrying me. Matter of fact, the more they talk, I think the better. The more they bring out the Hollywood elite, the more they bring out their attack dog, Biden, and I think the better off we are. Let him go.
I think Joe Biden might be shocked to hear himself called an attack dog, the guy who rides a train to work for 40 years or whatever. If there's an attack dog, it's our friend Mr. Limbaugh, who
they've kept him on a leash. They're letting him out
well,
now.
Well, good. I hope so. He's an intelligent, articulate spokesman for the party.
Well, Biden can be a tough guy, let's put it that way. And yes,
but let me just respond. I will certainly agree with Ann that both parties have wealthy donors, and that's a big part. I think, again, the data would show that the Republicans get more money from the well-off, and the Democrats get more money from the grassroots. And I don't think there's any, I mean, Mr. Obama's got more, five times as many donors today, as of today, before starting his campaign, than all the Republican candidates put together. And that's a fact, okay? But I think that there is one concern that we need to put on the table, and that is the effect of the super PACs and the Citizens United situation. And I think the Democrats are rightly concerned about the Karl Rove factor, Rove sitting back with $50 million that he will unleash at some point. So, you know, and no one knows at this point. Nobody knows what the effect of that is going to be. I mean, Mr. Obama, with the criticism of some Democrats, has had to wade into those waters himself in order to be competitive. And whether you agree with that or not, you know, we don't have to debate here. But I think no one knows what effect that's going to have on
the
future of the
race. What about MoveOn.org and Media Matters?
I mean, you
bring up Karl Rove and the super PACs. But you've got Media Matters and MoveOn.org.
And Karl Rove has raised more money from five donors than what MoveOn has raised in 3 years. That's the fact, you know. And
well, but they are underwritten by one person.
Who is that? I've sent money to MoveOn. I don't know there's any major donor that's supporting.
Let me intervene here, because one of the things that does. I mean, the
Michael Moore.
The Citizens United has seemed, you know, as you mentioned a moment ago, the super PACs. The super PACs seem to have played a serious role, though, in the Republican presidential primary, Romney being perhaps to take most advantage of it. What kind of, I mean, and in a very negative way, I mean, he's been able to attack, whether it was Gingrich and some of the other folks as they move around the table in terms of the primaries. What kind of, as you look at it, the money thing, what kind of impact do you think that this all this money is having on this selection process that seems to be going on? I mean, this year it's the Republicans who's having, you know, 4 years from now we could be talking about the Democrats. It's, you know, it's not, both parties are taking an awful lot of money. What kind of impact do you think all that money's having, do you think?
Well, I imagine the communication industry's stocks are going up a little bit. That usually happens this time of the year. But you've got to... He mentioned Karl Rove and some of the Republican commentators. But you have MoveOn.org. You've got Media Matters. You've got the Hollywood elite giving millions of dollars to the Democrat candidates. And most of the people I know just laughing at it. So,
Don, the big distinction, and this is pertinent this week, the big distinction is the Democrats believe in disclosure. The Democrats believe that you should know who contributes. And this week, again, the Republicans blocked the bill in Congress to force disclosure of the contributors to all these super PACs.
But are Democrats, are there super tax, are there super PACs going to be so disclosive?
Many of them, but the party supports disclosure. Right. You know, and that's been the difference from the beginning. You know, I write a lot of conflict of interest rules, and disclosure is the big thing. I mean, disclosure is the essence of the lobbying laws. It's the essence of all of this, so that people know where the money comes from.
Because one of the things that sort of popped out at me during the primaries is that there are some very, very wealthy individuals who just simply contribute, say, $10 million to a PAC of some given candidate, and suddenly they have all this money that they may not have had in the past. I mean, some people suggested, for instance, Newt Gingrich might be out of the race if it weren't for the fact that Sheldon Adelson, the casino owner, pumps money in. It's almost as if they're hedging, they're putting bets down on the table. I mean, what do you make of that? It's individuals who have very large amounts of money, who almost as if they're playing with our politics. I mean, is that a bad thing? I mean,
I really don't. I think campaign contributions, and we include the unions in on this too, because there are millions of union dues going into PACs and going into the Democrat campaigns. We hadn't brought up the unions yet.
It's all disclosed.
But what about the impact of just sheer individuals? It's stunning.
I think anybody,
you know?
Unions, individuals. I like to see it limited to $10,000.
Then you disagree with your party, and you agree with the Democratic position that it should be limited.
No, I think a lot of Republicans agree with me.
Okay,
I suspect particularly those political figures who have to raise the money probably
agree
with you.
But the official position of the party is against disclosure and against limitation. That's been a big difference between the two parties since day one.
Well, we've been having a lively discussion here about the presidential primary season that's now underway, and. in the Republican Party. I guess Illinois is next. My understanding is I think Romney has a slim lead over Santorum. We'll see how that sorts out.
Is that an open or closed primary?
I don't know. You know that? I'm not sure. Some of them do and some of them don't.
I had a list of the ones that were open and closed because that's what you've got to watch. You've got to watch whether it's an open primary or a closed primary.
Yeah.
And that's when you've got to really look. If it's a closed primary and Romney wins, then you know the Democrats did not come in and slant it. If Santorum wins, then you wonder if it was an open primary and they're doing what they did in Michigan.
Okay, got to cut it out there. We've been speaking with Ann Suthowski. She's with the Wicomico County Republican Party. Also Mike Prettle. He's with the Wicomico County Democratic Party. You've been listening to Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Our volunteer producers are Penny Hartman, Kathleen Grout, and Jim White. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC-14. To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit PAC-14.org.